The Lord be with you. I once worked with a guy who told me that he didn't like to watch TV with his mother anymore. Why would he want to do such a thing, you might ask? Well, apparently she gave up smoking. And as sort of a replacement activity for smoking in front of the television, she would eat Glossette peanuts. You guys know what Glossettes are. A good Canadian snack. They have that glossy, sort of chocolatey coating on top of a peanut, and they come in a box. That's not so strange, is it? Well, here's the thing. She didn't actually like peanuts. And so she would just sit there in her armchair watching television, popping those little chocolatey nuggets into her mouth, one by one. And after some time ponderously agitating them in her mouth, she would spit those disenchocolated little peanuts into her ashtray. I guess that wasn't a pretty sight. And the reality is, in many ways, the Psalms that we have in our Bible are a lot like those chocolatey coated peanuts. See, they've had rich layers of music and culture and tradition, and they have been a part of the songbook of a people. They're a hymn book. Look at that blue book in front of you next to the Bible. That's the Book of Psalms. It's just had all of its instrumentation removed, all of the stuff that Evelyn and Gerald need every week to make a song out of it. We don't have those arrangements for the gittith, whatever instrument that is, or the zither, or the kithara. I don't even think we would know what most of those sound like. The Psalms have been in our Bibles. They're lyric sheets, and they don't have any of the notation. It's like trying to make sense of rap music without all those sick beats. It's like trying to make sense of country music. Or another way to look at it, you could read those passages in Isaiah without any music and just call that Handel's Messiah. There's another layer missing too, though, because we are Christians, followers of Jesus, and we're reading Jewish prayers. There's a different point of view, and there's some different theological assumptions. We are visitors, and we are strangers in the Psalms in many ways. We don't quite have the understanding that we should about what it means to be a people devoted to God's teachings, devoted to Torah. We don't really understand what it means when the psalmist says how much he loves the city of Zion. And I don't know if we quite understand what it means to call ourselves God's chosen people. So sometimes it makes reading the Psalms kind of awkward. These Jewish songs, these Jewish prayers, we're Christian tourists in a strange land. But we should also keep in mind that these are prayers that Jesus read too. Prayers and songs that Jesus would have sung. Memorized, even. In the Gospels, Jesus quotes the Psalms at least 11 times. So in the land of the Psalms, we might find ourselves in a strange land, and the music might be missing. But in the Psalms, we tread a rich spiritual ground. It is the genius and the power of this little nut at the center of all that chocolate that the Psalms afford themselves a foothold in our lives all these years later, because they speak of deep human realities. They speak to ambiguity that we're too scared to name. They speak to disappointment. They speak to struggle. They speak to life. They speak to hope. It's the hope that we are in the hands of a God who cares about what happens to us. Ryan called this sermon series a few of my favorite psalms. And I have to admit to you that I don't really and I never really have had a favorite psalm. So how do I pick a psalm today? Well, I guess you could go all the way back to grade 2. See, my parents, they moved me from our local public school to a Christian school in a church basement. And they made a really big deal about memorizing Scripture. They said, in addition to all your studies, you will be memorizing entire chapters of the Bible. Isn't that great, kids? And I thought, oh, this is, yeah, that's pretty great. And Psalm 1, as it happens, was the first one they gave me, kid in grade 2. And so I remembered, or I memorized in the NIV, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Oh man, thought little grade 2 me, because it sort of seemed like that was the whole point. I was going to be doing a lot of meditating day and night on Scripture. It was going to be intense stuff, and all that talk about righteousness. I kind of got the point. I got it. Last week, Anne shared with us three categories of Psalms. The first category is the Psalm of Orientation, in which everything makes sense in the world, and we just talk about how great everything is. Second kind is the Psalm of Disorientation, and that's what Anne talked about last week. That's the sort of psalm where we talk about how our life has sunk into a pit. And thankfully, in between each of those are Psalms of Reorientation, a place of new life, in which we realize that God has pulled us up from the pit, and our hearts are filled with gratitude. Psalm 1 is the prologue to an entire collection, the first psalm in a collection of 150 songs. And it's all about orientation. It comes from a place in order and thoughtfulness and wisdom. And the message that I got in grade 2, and I think it's a lot of the message I got today, is be one of the good guys. Follow God's teaching. And don't hang out with those bad guys. And it'll all work out. The reality is like when we read the book of Proverbs or the other wisdom literature, sometimes it feels like a bunch of advice that we already know the answer to. Lower your cholesterol, exercise more, don't watch so much TV, put caulking on that basement window, don't sit in the seat of the scoffers, and you will live a long and prosperous life, and you won't get water in your basement this summer. Could you maybe run a half marathon someday? Psalms like this suggest that we have a role to play. The things we do matter. Our patterns of life shape us. We are not helpless agents in this world. This is weighty stuff, and it can turn into moralizing pretty quickly. And you can't help but notice, though, that if we're honest, this is the sort of advice that we want our teenagers to take to heart. We look at a world so full of risks and challenges, and we send them out into it, and we know that they have choices to make. And there are so many paths to choose from. And there are forks in the road ahead. And the older we get, the more we see that a thoughtless and unexamined life can turn to chaff that blows away in the wind. No matter what age we are, we need this wisdom. We need guides, we need mentors, and we need safe places to grow and learn where we can figure out our relationships, our finances, our sex lives, our workplaces, all those things that shape us over time. And they shape our hearts, and they shape our minds, and they shape our bodies, our neighborhoods, our households. And through it all, it's our hope in our hearts that we can be like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in season, and their leaves do not wither, and in all that they do, they prosper. What a dream. But this homespun and dare I say, dangerously tidy voice of wisdom and guidance can be really annoying too. Because this interrupts our complacent lives, it disrupts our plans, it irritates us, because it also demonstrates the ways that we have already been so wicked. It reminds us of the times we have found ourselves among the scoffers, on the wrong path. And then we say, life is not so simple. Thank you very much. The world is a dangerous place where random and horrible and terrible things happen all the time, and sometimes the consequences do not fit the crime. Our little missteps, our little mistakes can be brutal and ruthless. Can we catch a break already? Psalm 1 is a splendid Thanksgiving table. It's set with candles and napkins and silverware and salad and mashed potatoes and candied yams, and there's an apple pie in the oven right before your family arrives, where they can make a mess of things and they can fight at the table and someone can storm off in a bad mood. There's psalms for that too. But that's another day. Many of you know the story of Johnny Cash, and maybe you even saw the movie about his life. And it's safe to say that he was a man with a checkered history, and he walked what he would even have called a dark and difficult path. But the song that we sang today, I shall not be moved. Like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. It's safe to say that a man like Johnny Cash could sing with conviction and with honesty and could make a song out of that psalm, not because he had achieved some sort of impervious perfection, but because he knew that, like so many others before him, this is not a psalm about a pious and saintly person, a generous individual, Mother Teresa with six-pack abs and 500,000 Instagram followers. Because in our hearts we know that there is no such thing as this person, a person who lives such a curated and preserved and perfect world under glass somewhere. This is not a psalm about a person, actually. It's a glimpse of a story about a people, an assembly, a congregation that gathers around its songbook and sings together. People who have often strayed from the path. People who have often struggled and still struggle to stay on it. And yet, here they are, still singing. We are inhabitants of that same hopeful space. We're assembled on God's riverbank. We are trees planted by the water. And the Lord watches over us. We are rooted in hope and the promises of God. We cling to the rocks of the earth, and the winds of life blow at us. We are nourished through it all, watched over by the God who wants good things for us, the God who knows that it is from his place of goodness, his place of mercy, that we are fed and watered. God's good path for us, God's good teaching, is not just a collection of rules made to annoy us. They're a solid place for us to sink our roots into. A place to survive and then to thrive in an ever-changing, always challenging, always risky world. Scoffers are going to scoff. And the winds, they're going to blow. And our Maker lets us choose which paths we take, what freedom he's given us. He lets us even take dark and troubled paths. Our choices do matter. And there are paths which lead to destruction. But we also know that God watches over his little trees, transplanted people who've been given good earth and soil to hold on to. Planted next to nourishing streams of mercy, a river of God's best intentions for us. It winds its way through the landscape of our lives. It carries nutrients to us and living water. So much time separates us from those singers of that old hymn book that we call the Psalms. It's turned into our prayer book. It's turned into, for many of us, stories and snippets and segments of our own lives. Even with all that time and history and culture and music stripped away, this is a book of songs for people. People who share that same hope, the timeless human desire. A desire that we might rest in the hope that God watches over our path. And he wants good things for us. Amen.